Good morning, church. If I had to define for you what I'm sort of feeling like this morning, I played in the NFL, I would say that I sort of feel like I'm on injured reserve. I can play, but I'm not at the best game that I would normally have. And so this morning, I hope that you will grant me some grace as I try to keep my voice intact long enough to do the message this morning. This message that we're going to go through this morning after I pray is a message that some need it because it's going to be revelation to them for the very first time. And some people are going to need the message not because it's new revelation, but to put them in remembrance of the place that this held in their lives at some time ago, and somehow through life, through all that goes on in life, through all of the pressures that we face, it slipped away. It slipped away. And today's the time for us to have it refreshed within us. Oftentimes, for example, listening to Jordan this past month. Now, how many of you would recognize or at least acknowledge the fact that in one way or another, he was able to point out to us a fear that you or I have coped with? Anybody? Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear the categories. And fear is something that oftentimes causes us to let go of the areas of strength in our life and begin to forget how faithful God is because our fear is looming up in front of us. And so today, in the midst of all that you may be facing, all that I may be facing, our reason for being here is to hear what God would have to say to any of those fears that would be in our life. Let's pray for a moment before we get started. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that there's no other name given among men whereby anyone can be saved. And we're here as representative of those who have been saved. And that's not just an eternal thing that's going to take place after we pass from this life, but that is a now present reality. We are born again, filled with the Spirit, and able to be successful in life because of the surpassing great power that is in and through Jesus Christ, and because of Him, it's in and through us. Help us to get in touch with that this morning as we study your word and we open up our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Michael, if I could just have my title slide. There's a purpose that I want you to take away today. Every one of us has a story that we're involved with. Every one of us has a place that is being developed and a chapter that is unfolding. And it is our story. But the purpose of being a child of God and living and walking in life and having a story is only one thing, and that is to give God glory. Our purpose, our walk, whatever we do, whatever job we are involved with, wherever we go, whatever relationship we're in, the story of that involving us is for the purpose to bring God glory. So I'd like you to dance with me this morning in the spiritual realm as we examine our stories. As we ask ourselves, is my story giving God glory? Now, over the last couple of weeks, forgive me, I don't know if you've noticed, I've got a different pair of glasses on today. These are old glasses. You know why you wear old glasses? Because your new ones are broken. And I accidentally stepped on mine, and if they had been on my face, it would have been harder to step on them. But I took them off and put them somewhere vulnerable, and the next thing you know, and so I'm trying to get my distances here and everything, but Lord willing, we'll get through this morning. I'd like to talk to you about your story, but how well it is connected to receiving and becoming a revelation of Jesus Christ. Your story is really about what people see in you. You know, sometimes people want to say that their testimony is what they say about God. But in most cases, the definition of your testimony is really not what you say about God, but what others see in you about God. And so there's a testimony that I can give about being born again, about how God has worked in my life, and things like that, those simple visitations of God. But there's a whole nother testimony. It's the day-to-day thing that when you don't think anybody is watching, when you don't think anybody is examining your life, they are seeing something about you that makes you stand out, makes you different from the rest of this world. God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. And so I want to talk to you, as I said, about, to begin, the absolute authority of Jesus. In Daniel, you'll find, and let's look at some scripture here, prophetic scripture. Oops, I'm good. I thought I double-triggered. Daniel is prophesying about things that are going to happen thousands of years ahead of his time. And I want you to pull out, as I've put his color, colorized this, I want you to be able to see with me some of the prophetic accuracy of what he was saying. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, the name the Son of Man is a favorite name that Jesus used to apply to himself. You will find him referring to himself as the Son of Man. And here we go all the way back before ever anything has been done with Jesus coming into this world. And here's Daniel prophesying. It's really our Heavenly Father speaking through him and naming the Son of Man. And so he approached the Ancient One. How many of you remember the Ancient of Days? The song, the Ancient of Days. It's talking about our Jehovah God, our Yahweh, the one who is more than enough, the one who is everything we need. The Ancient of Days is the creator and the provider. He's the deliverer and he's the healer. He's the one that is everything to everyone that would like to reach up to him. And this Son of Man approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. And here's where we begin to come into the picture, because it says he was Jesus. He was given authority, honor, sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every nation, every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end, and his kingdom will never, never be destroyed. You see, talking about Jesus getting that authority in heaven, being prophesied way ahead of time, being prophesied in Daniel, and then Jesus came and told his disciples, he's just quoting exactly what Daniel prophesied. He's saying, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, here's where it comes into our ballpark, if you will. I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. He was given that authority, and he is transferring it to us. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, it also says that his authority, that the word is going to, that there will be a confession of who Jesus is. And the word confession is more than just intellectual agreement. What it really is, and I'll show it to you in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. Jesus said, to his authority, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, to confess is not just to just speak about or just to declare something that is in verbal agreement. That word confess there is much more than it. It's like a bursting forth from the Spirit of Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my God. Jesus has got all the authority. It's an exuberant coming from deep inside. It's not just verbal repetition. It is a reality, something that is tangible in our lives to the degree that nothing can be shaken, no matter what has gone on, because Jesus Christ has all the authority and has given it to us, and we're solid. Now, if you're going to receive that revelation of Jesus, one of the most important things you're going to have to do is be able to know a couple things. And I want to say know, not from the standpoint of knowledge in your head, although you will get knowledge in your head. This knowing is more than just knowledge of facts and historical issues. It's to know something means to experience it in your present reality. It's part of who you are and what you, it's your being. And in Ephesians, we're going to be looking at Ephesians. And by the way, I just brought a copy of a little book up here that I wanted to promote to you. It's an old classic. I think I may have mentioned it on Wednesday evenings, but it's written by a man named Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was a Chinese man in China when the communist regime and Mao Zedong took over in the 30s and began to impose their rule. He was a Christian pastor. And as the communists came in, they began to suppress Christianity and they began to persecute them and they would go underground. Well, because Watchman was such a well-known preacher, they went looking for him, found him eventually, and what they did was they cut out his tongue. They figured that if you could cut out the tongue, you could stop the testimony. You remember your story, God's glory? It doesn't really matter what can happen to us if in the midst of it, we take what we have and we use it for His glory. Our story will give God glory. And so he lost his tongue, but he found a pen and he began to write manuscripts, very much like the Apostle Paul did when they incarcerated him and no longer imprisoned him in Rome, and he couldn't travel all over the world starting new churches. And so he started to write letters to the churches that he had started. And they are the letters of the New Testament. You see, your story can have terrible things that might happen and come as of being here on this earth or being in a fallen society. But you, if you give God your all and your everything, if you give Him, whether it's your tongue or your song or your hands or your ability to serve people, if you give it all to Him, then your story, no matter what it is, will bring glory to God. And so I point this book out because it's an expose of the book of Ephesians. And I would highly recommend it. It's called Sit, Walk, Stand. Sit, Walk, Stand. I would recommend it to any of you to get it as a foundational understanding of who you are in Christ. And it shows stages of growing in maturity. And first is to see that we're seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. And so let's look at some scripture in Ephesians. It says, I pray, this is Paul, writing to that church, that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. That's us. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. And this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand. You see, he's already seated at God's right hand in heaven. what we need to understand, according to Ephesians, is that we're seated there in Him. We're there. Just like we were on the cross. Our sins were on the cross in Jesus. We are also in heavenly places, seated in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Now, He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And I would add a little parenthesis and say, and also in your world or my world. His authority isn't just biblical authority. It's experiential authority that we can have in our lives on a daily basis. My world, not just the worlds of the heaven or the worlds of the earth, but my personal world can be impacted by the authority and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, verse 19, I believe it is, we're going to look at first. I also pray that you would understand the incredible greatness of God's power. This is to say that there's no rematch going to ever take place between Jesus and the devil. There's no 2 out of 3. It was at the cross, finished at the cross. And it's unquestioned because it was totally, totally finished. He was vanquished. Jesus' victory is untouchable by the enemy, but it is enforceable by us. You must understand that if you have something that God has granted to all of us through the grace of God, then we must enforce it in our own lives. It's untouchable. His victory is untouchable by the enemy, but is enforceable by us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, because God's children are human beings, most of us anyways, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could He die. And only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Now, the equation that is up for debates in people's minds, but not in the heavens, but in people's minds, is, did He break the power of the devil? I say yes. I say it's finished. I say He has the last word. I say that nothing can be done to reverse that. It has been done. Jesus destroyed that the usurped power that the enemy had. He destroyed it. What it really means in the word destroyed is He dissolved its chains. That they were dissolved. Literally, they would fall off on their own. It has been accomplished. And that dissolving of that bondage will cause us to come into a place of freedom. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, our role. So humble yourselves before God. And then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, for us, the humbling ourselves before God is merely just submitting ourselves to the knowledge of what has been accomplished for us. We must submit to God's authority, and from under that place of His authority, we can resist the devil, and he has to flee. Victory will only come in our lives after we have learned how to submit to the work of God in our lives through Christ Jesus. Verse 19 and 20. I also pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of His power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. That's what this passage teaches us. Because He said, the authority is given to me, that authority was delegated to me, and that name was given to me, Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I give that to you. And so we have that very same power resident within us. The greatest power that exists in this world is more than an atomic or a nuclear bomb. It is the life-giving, life-creating power of God that dwells within every believer. And so it becomes God's seed in us. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. I like the way that this is written. Because we will always be vulnerable and tempted to sin. But what God is talking to us about is the practice of sin. The unwillingness to stop sinning is the practice of sin. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. Because God's seed is in them. There's something that whenever we find ourselves in a place of temptation or a place of opportunity to step out of our God-given character into a fleshly indulgence or an expression of our flesh, it is the Holy Spirit, the living, resonant, God-giving power that dwells within us that will rise up and help us to get past that without sinning. I was watching a program this week. I'm not sure what it was, but there was a young lady that was giving a testimony. You know, we're talking so much about addictive drugs and everything that are going on in society and the opioids. And this lady had had an injury in her body, had been diagnosed with having damage and was given opioids. And as she treated, eventually she succumbed to them and became addictive. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And she, of course, the consequences are horrible to the family and to just life in general. And what happened was that she got involved somehow in a Christian rehabilitation program. And what she received there was the person of Jesus Christ. And as we receive Jesus, we receive the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling, which is the life-giving power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so she begins to tell the story. She says, no program that I could ever get in, no activity that I could ever do on my own could free me from that power of those opioids. It was the power that came to live in me that delivered me from the power of the opioids. Why? Because the power of Christ in you is greater than any power on the face of the earth. And she was just aglow giving her testimony. Jesus is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come and in the world that we live in. You name it, He's above it. And this includes every name of every demon, every spirit, every opposing force that could ever be affecting you in your life. The name of Jesus is above it. Now first, we got to receive that truth. But having received that, then we begin the process of allowing the receiving of that truth to change us incrementally from the inside out to the place that we become a revelation. First, you have to have a revelation of who Jesus is. Then you receive it, and then you begin to become a revelation of Jesus. Once you were dead, how many of you know you've, from the day you were born, you were dead? Do you understand that? It sounds odd. But the day you were born, you were dead. And that deadness was not defined as a pulse or a breath. It was defined as a condition of relationship that was broken between every spirit that came into this world, eternal spirit that came in, is separated from God. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Literally, the word death means we were locked up in darkness. It was lifelessness and powerlessness. And despite all the efforts that we can come of self-improvement, I love what Paul said one time in this scripture. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Now, we're talking about Paul. Paul was a pretty strong spiritual man. And even in his flesh, he was able to resist temptations. But he came to a place where he understood that all of that was just him. And he surrendered his life. He heard the voice of Jesus. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Can I give you an encouragement to start your day? Start it with, Lord, what would you have me to do today? And then listen for what he would give you to do as you go about your day. And so, oh, what a miserable person I am. This is Paul. Who will free me from the life that is dominated by sin and death? Literally in the King James it says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Our body is the issue that is so often separated from God, tempted, trying to satisfy self. But God made us alive, and God raised us up in Christ Jesus. It says, but God. I'm so glad for God's but. You know what I'm saying? Because when they show up, it is a transition from our previous condition, our lostness, our brokenness, our ineffective lifestyle. It's a transition from that and that hopeless condition we were in, trying to do it on by ourselves, striving as best we could. But God steps into the picture. I'm so thankful for all of those but gods. I was separated, but God gave me a Savior that could save me. I was poverty stricken, but God is my provider. I was not well. I was sick, but God is my healer. I was lost, but God came and found me and pursued me and looked for me and made the payment to bring me back into His favor. It was all but God. And we have to settle what we get here. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is the only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. We are partakers of His nature. We are no longer we're just in the world, but we're no longer of the world. We're in Christ. And so what does He call us to do? I'm going to ask you to just keep right with me. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, you're going to have to skip a scripture or two. Can you bring that up? 4:22. Actually, I could probably do it there. So, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and by deception. He calls for us to put off the old nature. And He calls for us, because it's inconsistent with who we are now, and put off the bitterness, put off the passivity, put off the lifeless talk, put off the foolish jesting, put off the anger and the bitterness and jealousy. Put it all off. But then we're to go ahead and put on your new nature, which is created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Hallelujah. And so the full armor of God is Jesus inside of us. It's in Ephesians. We'll study into that in the days ahead. But we need to understand that that full armor is available to us. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. This is your story. And it is God's glory. This is the secret. Christ lives in you. And this gives you assurance of being able to reveal His glory. It is not about you becoming better at acting like a Christian. It's not like dressing up and putting on a pretend outfit. You know, we're just going through this holiday, putting on all the different outfits and stuff like that. Earlier this week, my three grandsons came over and they all had different outfits on and they were all superhuman men. I mean, one of them was bulked up like the Hulk. But under all of that is these little skinny arms, you know, but they have all that stuff. But it's makeup. It's pretend. Being a believer isn't a pretend outfit. It is the life of God, the glory of God, revealed through us because it inhabits us. We can live a life successfully for Jesus Christ because of the power that's in us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "For once you were full of darkness." I know it. I know it. I knew I was separated from God. But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people in the light. Do you know that there are people throughout this world that have a various demonic oppression and demonic activity going on in them? And when they get around true believers, people that know who they are and who they refer to them as the shining ones. The shining ones. It says they have that ability to see that light that is inside of you, that glory of God that has taken residence within you. And they refer to you as the shining ones. And it is vital for us to know that the enemy sees the light inside of us. But what? How horrible is it if we don't see the light that's inside of us? Because if we don't, even though the light dwells within us, we're still out just trying to make it happen in the flesh. Just doing it in the flesh. Everything that needs to change in my life, the power for it to change, is not in my care. It's in the one who dwells within me. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am the temple of Almighty God. It used to be in a building, and now it is in individuals like you and me. Last of all, once we know, we need these things. We need to know how to stand. That's why I referenced this book. It says, sit, be seated in heavenly places, walk, learn how to walk out your life through the power that dwells within you, and then stand. Learn how to take the authority of God and make your stand, knowing that you've done everything that you could possibly do. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you! But even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. It is up to us to realize that God has no grandchildren. All of us have to come into a place where we become a child of God. And we need to understand that the demons had no babies. The very demons that were present when Jesus died on the cross and put their master to shame are the ones that are running around tempting us and trying to do things today. And so they know they're already defeated. The problem isn't that they know that they're already defeated. The problem is that we don't know that we're victorious in Christ Jesus. And so the Ancient of Days sent his son that came from Daniel to dissolve the control of the enemy over your life. And he has conferred the sufficient authority to you to be able to walk in success and victory in this life. But remember one thing, we are the only ones that can enforce that. So what's your story? What's my story? Is it God's glory? Or is it just what I want it to be? I pray that it's God's glory for you. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get this finished with my voice. I thank you, Lord, that the most powerful force on the earth dwells in each one of our lives. And that if we will learn how to walk in it, that we will have victory through it. And so, Lord, teach us each and every day how to rely more, how to trust more, how to give up more, and put on that revelation of Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to bring glory to your name and to your Father in heaven. I ask it in your precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Be dismissed.